this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians. I believe I'd rather hear Steve Dagenhart bootleg preaching than anybody I know. I get a lot of help while he's bootleg preaching. Yes, sir. We began here yesterday morning looking at some of the 18 times that Paul uses the little phrase, much more, 18 being a number that is often associated with bondage. And each time that Paul uses the phrase, he's plummeting the depths of the much more of Jesus Christ. And we're preaching on this thought in these days, that Jesus is all this, he's all that, and oh, so much more. Amen. Yesterday morning, we looked at the power of Paul's much mores. I want to turn our attention this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul will mention this little phrase a couple of more times and preach on the portraits of Paul's much mores. He says in verse number 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the law, but of the Spirit. Amen. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, here it is, much more, that the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glorious in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Paul in our text gives us two portraits that would help us in our journey of being able to live the thought that Jesus is all this, all that, and so much more. One of those pictures is Paul's picture of the law. He says, the law and its letter. The little word he uses in verse 6 for the letter is the sacred writings of the Ten Commandments. What will they do, preacher? He said, it won't do nothing but kill you. He said, that's them Old Testament Jews. Oh, no. It's Baptists today. They put 6,000 facets. They had 6,000 subpoints to them. And many of you have got your little old subpoints to them. What will they do? Kill everything it touches. Before COVID broke out, my wife and I was probably in 50-some places every year. It's beginning to pick up big time again. But I don't know, every one of them had a list of do's and don'ts. I couldn't keep up with them. Some weeks you could, and some weeks you couldn't. Some weeks you could go to the beach, some weeks you had to go to the coast. Or you had to go out east. And as my best friend said, if you're real holy, you go to the Gulf. You get that after a while. What will it do for me? It'll kill you. The law only makes Pharisees. It will never make Christ-like people. Paul said in Romans chapter number 5 that when the law entered, the little word entered is the centerpiece, the main attraction. It is the center point of your preaching. He said, sin will abound. sin will abound. I know this morning I could probably name 10 preachers that the law was a centerpiece of their preaching. They set up a standard they couldn't keep themselves. Messed up with women, all kinds of things. How come? The law won't do nothing but kill. It'll never bring life. He said in the Old Testament that the law was the finger of God. He wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. So all the law can ever do is finger around in your heart, point out that you're going wrong. Matter of fact, he said right there in verse number 6, he'll never be an able minister. Never help you to change. Paul said in Galatians that when faith came, until it came, we were shut up to the law. But when faith came, we were freed from the law. Had faith come? Paul said it came through a revelation. The law can only tell you you're broken. It can never put you back together. But the Lord of Calvary can. The law can tell you you're black with sin. But he can never make you white as snow. But the Lord of Calvary can. The law can tell you that you're crooked. But it can never make you straight. The Lord of Calvary can. Amen. The law can tell you you're lost this morning, but it can never save you. Amen. The Lord of Calvary can. Amen. I tell you, the law can only oppress. It can never lift up. Amen. I love what the songwriter said. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to the list that the Baptist had put together for me to keep. No! He turned to Calvary. I'm telling you this morning, hell will be full of people that took on your standards. Some of you are raising kids at your house that are going to go to hell, and they have taken up your standards and your convictions. You're listening to me this morning. Oh, the law can't help you. But the Lord of Calvary can. I notice in our text there is another picture that he offers in this text. He offers in verse number 6 the picture of the law. He says that it killeth. But in verse number 6, he gives the picture of the Spirit. He says it always gives life, always gives breath. I notice in this text about the Spirit in other of Paul's writings, you say, well, who in the world give him the right to take away my law, my little old sub points, and just give me the Spirit? Who in the world does he think he is? He thinks he's all this, all that, and oh, so much more. He's much bigger than your list. If he comes around, he'll blow it all up. Here there is the picture of the Spirit. Now notice in this text this morning that Spirit-filled people are light shiners. They're light shiners. I was thinking about this thing of being filled with the Spirit, because Paul says in other places in Ephesians 5, he says, and be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought maybe what we would do this morning, we'll start on this aisle here and we'll go to the back and we'll cross over and come back up this side and then cross over this side. Just the preachers, we'll have them to stand. We don't hear about you, how you got saved. Everybody got a story about that. But I'd like you to tell me when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't look at the bathroom down there. I ain't going to do it.
Look up in here now.
Amen. Amen, Brother Tom.
tell you, if you ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd quit preaching. It's a letter of the law killing everything it touches. If you're a singer this morning, you ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd quit doing it. It's a letter of the law kill everything it touches. A little word feel there that Paul uses has two pictures to it. Of course, I graduated from Bob Jones University. I preached 10 years before I ever knew there was a Holy Ghost. Because, see, they told me down there at Bob Jones, you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you got saved. Is that what you were told? I'm glad Jesus didn't take that course. It had messed him all up. Because he said, I'm not talking about Bob Jones, I'm talking about what Jesus said. He said, how much more shall he give the Spirit to them that ask for? So I must not have got all of it if I can ask to get some more of it. Just saying what the Bible says. But the little word feel has two pictures to it. One is a picture of a container or a vessel. And I've always thought that maybe that's when we get filled up and it overflows and the excess what helps other people. But the little word that he uses there is a vessel that has no bottom in it. You say, what in the world anybody want a vessel that don't have a bottom in it? Because it has been emptied. That's exactly what God did to me in 1977 in Saluda, North Carolina, about 9 o'clock one night, my first experience with the Holy Ghost. He kicked the bottom end out of me, emptied me of my stinking self so he could take that vessel, baptize it in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would flow freely through it. It is not the law. It kills to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Far different. It's a picture of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's a second picture. Picture of one who is out on life's sea. And he's got the rudder in his hand. And he's directing his own ship. He's doing with his ship what he wants to. But a storm comes up. The wind begins to blow. Wind is a type of the Holy Ghost in the Bible. Water begins to take over the ship. Water is a type of the Word of God. They lose control of the rudder. They're no longer controlling their ship. But now the ship's being controlled by the water and the wind. Has there ever been a time in your life that God kicked a bottom end out of you and emptied you of your stinking self? Filled you with the Holy Ghost, took the rudder out of your hand, and now it's being controlled by the wind and the water of the Word of God. You say, who gives him the right to tell me I've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost before I can sing or preach? I tell you what gives him the right. Because he's all this. He's all that. Oh, so much more. I notice for these that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us that they are light bearers. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Paul's given us his testimony of salvation. He said, God stepped inside of me one day and said, let there be light. And the light came on in me. And I began to shine it, and it expels darkness. I was wondering this morning if you was a light shiner. Huh? I read a couple of quotes not long ago that sure did help me. One is, do not trim your lamp to make other people comfortable. You feel with the Holy Ghost this morning, you can't help yourself. You got to shine a light everywhere you go. Got to point out darkness everywhere you go. Just can't help yourself. I love this little old quote. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, young preachers walking down the road one night there in England, about dusk dark, and the lamp lighter was lighting the lamps. Old Spurgeon asked this young boy, he said, son, he said, what do you see? He said, I see, about all I see, Brother Spurgeon, is a lamplighter lighting the lights. He said, Brother Spurgeon, he said, what do you see? He said, I see a man blowing a hole in the darkness. Preacher, you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to blow a hole in the darkness? You listening to me this morning? Oh, to be filled with the Holy Ghost is to want to be a light shiner. But I notice also something about being filled with the Holy Ghost. They are mirror searchers. They're always wanting to get in front of the mirror. You know, I had my middle son. He was a mirror boy. Never got dressed unless you used three mirrors. He used a very close-up mirror to get him from the neck up. He'd look in it for a good while. I've even watched him look, see if he had any boogers up his nose. Then he used a waist mirror, make sure his belt was straight and everything. And to finish it off, he'd close the door for that full length on the back of the door. A mirror person. If you've ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I cannot help but believe there's a lot of people here this morning who ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost. How come? Because they're mirror searchers. Watch the text. He says in verse number 17, chapter 3, now the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding in a glass, a mirror. This book here is a mirror. Amen.
I noticed this morning that a lot of you did not bring your mirror with you. Hello? How can you look in the mirror unless you got the mirror with you? You listening to me this morning? This is a place where the Bible, where the mirror is going to be opened. We're going to look in the mirror. I love what James said about the mirror. If you got the Bible there, I don't want to confuse you with the Bible. James chapter number 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Or if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like an unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. Yes, sir.
You know why we don't like to carry this book with us, don't you? I have never looked in this book for any long period of time and it told me I was looking good. Never. 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 Matter of fact, he says in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, you got to continue to look, you got to study, you got to meditate, you got to read, you got to meditate, you got to study, you got to read. Continue in this book. What do I want to do that for? He'll tell you what you like. Never tell you that you're looking good. There and now being forgetful hearers, but doers of this work, this man shall be what? Blessed. Blessed. Word of God will never tell you a lie. It'll always tell you what you look like. Amen. I was thinking about that again this morning. Last year, my wife and I, for our 50th wedding anniversary, we went down to St. Simon's to the coast, but there was an ocean out there. It was a beach. And we like to sit by the pool, and we like to look out at the ocean. We take our books out there, and we read, and we'll look. Every now and then, we'll talk. But we just like to see the water roll in. And we were staying in some condos, and all the condos were the same. Instead of having wallpaper, all the walls in the living room where you're going out the door were mirrors. And while I was sitting down there one afternoon, there was an old gal come out there to the pool, and
I don't want to tell no lie. I know how much I weigh. And I would say she weighed about 400 pounds. And she had a two-piece bathing suit on. Of what I could see that wasn't in the rolls. And I thought her coming out of the living room in the same kind of condo that I live in with all the walls mirrors. They ain't none of them mirrors told her coming out that door, you looking good. You looking good. It ain't ever happened. And that is the same reason why you and I don't want to get in this book, because we've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. We'd rather keep a bunch of lists of do's and don'ts. We've quit doing this. We've quit wearing that. And we're patting ourselves on the back that everything is all right. But we've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and saw ourselves for what we really are. That's why we don't take Bibles to churches. Because we'd have to do something crazy like open it and see for ourselves what the preachers are reading. And it would correct us. I was a-wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd ever stick my nose into your business. But I asked you this morning, has there ever been a time that God ever freed you from a list of do's and don'ts? And filled you with the Holy Ghost. Kick a bottom end out of you. And filled you with himself. And gave you an insatiable desire. Not to see your little list. But to see what Christ is like. As I close this morning, I wonder if this would be your prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. I wonder if your stubborn will has ever been subdued. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. I love this verse. I fall so short of it. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine, until my will is lost in thine. Boy, I want my free will. The old songwriter said, I want to lose mine. You listening to me? Until my will is lost in thine, to live for Baptists alone. No! To live for thee alone. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Who gives him the right to tell me that I have to set aside my little list of subpoints? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with him. Gives that right to him. I tell you what it is. He's all this. He's all that. Oh, so much more. We're standing this morning in the tabernacle. Our heads are bowed. Brother Jordan's coming around. Whatever the Lord's laid on his heart, play, sing, whatever they're going to do. Preacher, I wonder this morning if you can look back to a time and a place that God kicked the bottom end out of you, emptied you of your stinking self, filled you with the Holy Ghost, took the rudder out of your hands. Laymen, just normal people, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Set your little letters aside. Set your little subpoints aside. Had an insatiable desire to get in the Word of God. Mirror Christ, not to mirror your subpoints. God's speaking to you. Altar's open. You come. Seek the Lord while he can be found.